Well, Monday, Sears did what a lot of us had been doing for the last several years, which was preparing for its bankruptcy. It's a sad story, and it follows on the heels of the demise of Toys R Us and lots of other big box stores. What does this mean for retailing, and how do you keep up? Alan Questrom knows. He's arguably the best retailer I've ever met anyway. Former CEO of Federated Department Stores and Neiman Marcus, Barney's of New York, JCPenney. He joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
How are you, David? Nice to hear from you and on this sad day, at least in my life, and probably many, many people who've grown up with the Sears company and seen over the years its contribution to our society. But this is capitalism, and if you don't stay on top of your game, somebody else will replace you. I think we see this happening in some of the bricks and mortars. Now, not all of them, but I think some of the ones who have not stayed in tune or that the dynamics have changed. We see these companies not being able to stay alive. And the sad part, quite frankly, is many, many people. I think Sears at one time had over 300,000 people, maybe 400,000 people work for them. I think it's now down to 60,000 people, and those are all going to be gone, if not immediately, over the next several months or maybe a year. So it's a sad, sad story, and but it is what the capitalism is about. And as a result of that and why it's happening, other companies have come along who've got a better way to take care of customers, and they're doing well, and they're hiring people. So it's not like it's all bad. There's good news and there's bad news. But certainly if I work for Sears, it's got to be bad news when I hear that.
One thing you've always talked about is knowing your customer and she what she wants to buy. In your case, I know you were always talking about. And Sears, it seemed like for a long time, got by with sort of being all things to all people, and didn't seem to have a focus. I mean, they made great tools, and they sold dresses, and they sold houses.
Well, they sold everything. I mean, they had tombstones, you name it. In fact, I think they even sold narcotics. So they covered all the bases. And again, it wasn't so much, and that was what, and that's what was the purpose they served in that. They served everybody. They went out into the remote areas and the middle markets, and they took care of people because there were no other retailers to take care of the people at that time. And so they had to be in all things. But as competition came in that was specialized in certain categories, they were unable to be effective because they weren't specialized in a category. They covered the whole base. Now, saying that, they were the developers of the Kenmore brand, which is still a very, very powerful brand in major appliances. The die-hard battery. I can remember their ads with cars standing out in the middle of frozen lakes in Minnesota. The only car that starts had a die-hard battery. And of course, Craftsman Tools. And Craftsman Tools are still very good thing. But many of their other businesses were not successful, and they weren't as focused on those. And other people came in and beat them on it. Now, the Internet came in, and everybody's blaming everything on the Internet. The Internet is a small part of it. It's not the total, but it does represent for retailing, 11% of the business has gone into the Internet. However, that 11%, some of it's being done in bricks-and-mortar stores as well. Amazon is not the cause, but what is a factor is that people now have a hand phone, and that now represents 50% of the sales coming out of hand phones. And that has changed the dynamics of how retailers have to work. And so that's a major factor in terms of you have to be competitively priced because they can look up on the phone of what the price is. You've got to be convenient because people want it today or tomorrow. And so that has caused people to have to rethink how they do business to take care of their customers because that's what their customers seem to want.
But it doesn't seem like there could be you could make a blanket indictment against bricks and mortar. Maybe it's the type. I mean, you're involved with...
I'm at home. At the.
You're at home. That's what. Yeah, well, then I'll use that as an example. I go in to buy, some new pads to go on the chairs, the outdoor chairs, and I see another item. And it's not impulse buying. It's like, I never knew they had that item.
And by the way, they do not have an Internet presence. And that's a very difficult product to be in the Internet, but it also gives them a competitive advantage because their products are all unique and you have to go in there to see it. And you say it's a huge assortment, so you have to walk by it, and they have categories many people never even knew about. So,
right.
So they've served that purpose. And their business is quite good, and they've gone public recently, and so that stock has done quite well. And I was on it when we was a private equity firm, still on their board. They've done a very good job because they've really identified. They took over. We bought out a badly run company, and the management who've been running it over the last several years that I've been there have really focused in on what was viable and what wasn't viable, and I think have made big progress. And I think they still have a lot of things they can do to continue that progress. But if they stop and they don't keep coming up with what customers want, they too will go out of business.
But it comes down to location, location, location in some cases. And I know At Home has benefited by the demise of some of the others. Sears has got to open up some great real estate, aren't they?
Well, they have a lot of real estate, and in fact, they dominate most malls that were created back in the 50s, 60s, and the 70s. It was Sears and Penney's and usually a major department store. So they dominate what people came to that mall for. They also, when they did that, created all kinds of new competition because all the specialty stores that opened in those malls really didn't have a presence. So when they created these malls, the malls were created with these specialty stores put in. So they created the reason for going to the mall, and then the competitors, which are these specialty stores, took away some of those businesses that they were doing. So that created their own new presence in the market, and they also created competition. And quite frankly, during my time and after, we built too many stores relative to the population's growth. So that was also an issue that is now being contracted, and you're seeing the malls closing down. And those that were probably built in the 50s and 60s are the ones that are being closed, and then the newer malls are doing quite well. Most of the A and B malls were built in the last 20 years. And when they build the mall with the right mix of products, they do well.
Do you think this could benefit one of your former companies, JCPenney, who has their new CEO coming in?
They have a brand new CEO. I hope it does. I think that Penney's also has had many, many years of poor direction, and have not stayed on top of the game. And hopefully, this lady, and I don't really know her, but I've heard good things about her, but I really have. She has no reputation that I've been aware of. So, but I hope that they can do well. But they've gone through several different situations that have really caused them to lose the focus of their customer. And so, if you haven't shopped at Penney's for the last 10 years for one reason or another, it's going to be much more difficult to get you back in because you found another alternative. Your reason for being is less today than it was 10, 15, 20 years ago. And they've also suffered from some of the same things that Sears Roebuck can. And in all the department stores, you see them also going out, many of them going out of business. But those that are still doing well have been more adept at adapting to the changes going on and are more aware of what their customers want. Now, we have a new customer out there now, the millennial. And that customer has different issues than the baby boomer, and so that you, if you don't adapt to what your new customer wants, and without trying to lose your baby boomer, you too will have the same fate. That's what I love about capitalism: is you got to stay on top of your game. And we see this going on in the whole newspaper business. You see a lot of the newspapers going out of business or losing their purpose because other forms have come up to replace them.
You've always got to hear the footsteps. Alan Questrom, former CEO of some of the nation's greatest brands. It's always good to spend some time with you, sir.
It's always a pleasure talking to you, my friend. You always do it with such enthusiasm. That's why you have such a good radio audience.
Thanks a lot. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.